let me say happy Mother's Day to you. I am excited for Mother's Day. You know, I was trying to think through this morning, and if you are here today because you have a mother, would you raise your hand? Right. So, all right. So moms are pretty important. We have all been impacted. We're here today because we had a mom in our lives, right, that brought us into this world, and we know from her own mouth that she can take us out. And so moms are vitally important. You know, as a husband, as a father, I look at mom sometimes and I think, man, y'all have all the fun. You know, I'm sure you disagree with me right now. Are you kidding me? I mean, you read stories to kids, you ride with them in the passenger seat when they're getting their license, you know, you cry with them when they have a baby. You know, when I was little, my mom and I, we would sing a song sometimes. It went like this. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. They're looking at me like I'm the only mama that it sings, right? Foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rain came tumbling down. The rain came down, and what happened? Floods came up. Come on. Would y'all join? Rain came down and the floods came up. It has motions. Rain came down and the floods came up. And then the greatest part of the song for any child, and the house on the sand went. Man, yeah, that's really the whole reason that I wanted to sing that one over and over. Splat. Until I became an adult, I didn't want my house to go splat, right? So the wise man built his house upon the rock. Wise man built his house upon the rock, built his house upon the rock, right? That's the adult version. And the rains came down and floods came up. Rains came down, floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. How vitally important foundations are in our lives. Wow. Doesn't get more important than a foundation in our life. Moms, you might not realize it, but you are foundation layers. No matter what age your children have become, you have greater opportunity and greater measure than anybody in this room to speak to your children's life and address foundation issues. Dad, you're second. I'm sorry. That's just the way that it works right there. But I'm amazed as we become adults how we focus on things that are not foundational. And I'm amazed that just like this Jenga game, we concentrate so much on here up, right? And we just know, all right, I know how to rearrange things up here and make things taller that at one point were shorter. And I know how to be steady. And so we concentrate with all of our might on what is the ground up. And what's amazing to me in that statement, obviously my Jenga rules, you can test to see which ones are loose. I know some of you have a rule that you can't do that. That takes the fun out of it. Come on, guys. You got to be able to test for the loose pieces. Why do we get so upset when life comes tumbling down and tumbling down? And then we think that we can build it back up again and expect different results without ever looking at the foundation issues. How do I know if my foundation is the problem? Look in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. One of the great verses of Isaiah says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste." And that word there for haste, it's more than just like speed. It's this disturbance, right? Like, you know how it is, moms and dads, we get so worked up and we're not able to make good decisions. We make mistakes. That's that word for haste. Now, let's just get right to the heart of this verse. The foundation that Isaiah is talking about is none other than Jesus Christ. It can only be Him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. How do I know that? It's not that I'm extra smart. The New Testament tells us that twice. Hey, this foundation, it's Jesus. He has to be Lord of every area of your life. Of every area of your life. See, a foundation, which is good, goes underneath the whole household, doesn't it? Nobody's going to lay a foundation for half of the house and go in and build out over the side of the foundation. You don't do that. He has to be Lord over every area of your life. And some of you wonder, oh, how come it crumbles so often? Maybe you're getting off of the foundation. Now, a lot of you in this room have bought a house recently. What do you do when you put the payment down on the house and then you have the inspector come and inspect it? What do you do if they find a leaky faucet? Well, call a plumber to get the faucet fixed, right? What do you do if there's a leaky roof? He comes back, man, I hate to tell you this, but the roof has a leak. Well, how much is the damage? Oh, it's not that bad. Man, I call a roofer. The roof is fixed. That's great. What do you do when he comes back and he says, Jonathan, I got news for you. The foundation is cracked. Thank you for saving me misery. I'm going to buy another house and not this one, right? That's how important it is. Some of you have been building up on a cracked and shaky foundation. It's time for you to sell that thing. Get off of it and put your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at attributes of the foundation of Christ this morning. And I encourage you, as you hear what these attributes are, to examine your own heart. Moms, to ask yourself, am I on the foundation of Christ? And then to ask yourself, am I sowing seeds of the foundation of Christ into my children? Or am I sowing something different? See, it starts off, he says that this foundation is a tested stone. Isn't that great? A tested stone, that it literally means that it's a verified stone of authenticity, okay? It's been tested through time. It's been tested through trial. That's the foundation of Jesus Christ. So storms come. Storms blow. We know that. They come into our life. We don't know when they're going to come, what to expect of them. But this tested stone, the New Testament says, in Christ, has been tempted and tried in every way. What happens for us when storms come? Oh man, maybe I should balance something a little bit more differently up here on the top, right? Maybe I could arrange the way that it is and maybe that'll make a difference. But honestly, even the best homes can fall down in some storms. Does a foundation remain? A tested stone. He says that not only is he tested, but he's a precious stone. The value of this foundation is infinite. It's unbelievable. You know, when I'm focused on my life and so focused on the things that I'm doing day after day, do you know how childish and dumb it is? I mean, it's just like playing a Jenga game in front of lots of people. So, because my life is so shallow. Man, I've got 70, 80 years, you know, at top. Look at the history of the world. That's not very long. Just look at what the earth produces on its own. It's so much better than anything that I could produce in my own life. Really, by my own efforts, I'm just poor and shallow, right? But when my foundation is Christ, suddenly I enter into a realm of eternity. Suddenly, it's not Jonathan who was born in the 70s and going to die in a long time, much later down the road, right? Suddenly, I've entered into eternity with Christ. And what seemed like, oh, this isn't very good for Jonathan now is very precious, is very valuable. My life is like a flower that fades so quickly, but with Christ, it's eternal. Now, suddenly, with Christ as my foundation, my actions are significant. Because I'm not just doing something to see, can I be taller in this life? Can I be shorter in this life? Can I build higher? I'm not just seeing that anymore, right? Suddenly, that's not the one to pull out. Suddenly, everything that I do has significance for eternity when Christ is my foundation. Boy, what a difference Jesus Christ makes in our lives. Look at what he says in Isaiah chapter 8. For the Lord spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me. and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. In fact, if you've got a pen, can you just underline, do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread? See, he says, don't walk in the ways of this people, because the ways of this people are like this Jenga game. Shaky at best, right? Just trying to rearrange what is on the outside. And a game like this can make us afraid so quickly. That's why I love to play this with our children. It's going to fall. Is it going to fall? We don't have to walk around in life wondering, is it all about to fall down? When we have a foundation of Christ, he says, do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Not people, God. And he will become, now, he's going to give us two options right here. He will become a sanctuary, that's those of us who have a foundation of Christ, a sanctuary, a place of refuge. He will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling. That's the other option. Stone of offense, a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. You know, these Israelites, they had all of the looks of the religious people that should have the peace of God, the joy of God, the foundation of God in their life, didn't they? They had all the looks. They had the temple. Man, they had the Ten Commandments. They had the law of God. They should have been the ones that received Christ, but they didn't know what to do with Jesus. Yeah, we know from the very beginning of time, the Messiah has been prophesied and we're excited and we're looking forward to him. But here's this Jesus. He fits the criteria of the Messiah, but I don't really like what he's saying. Some of it's okay, but can I just take parts of him, right? And Jesus quickly became a stumbling block for both houses of Israel. And he says it in fear and dread, he should be a sanctuary, right? Because they wanted to do anything with Jesus other than make him Lord of their life. Jesus, don't interrupt what we've got going on. I don't want you to be Lord of my life. You know, in our lives today, we just want to sprinkle some Jesus on parts that we need, don't we? Right? Like, when I need you, Jesus, then I'm going to call on you and you can comfort me and sprinkle some of that comfort juice that you do, you know, and I'll feel comforted and then I'll get back to my life without you in it. God, all right, I'm going to give you my marriage because I know that's important stuff, and I'll give you my kids. I'll even give you my job, but not that time when I'm off by myself, right? That's not your time. Elizabeth and I were laughing last week because the Lord's been waking me up real early to pray. And that's great. I'm a morning person anyway, but he's been waking me up before I want to wake up to get up to pray. And that was great. So I told Elizabeth it had been Sunday through Friday. I'd been waking up early to pray every morning. And Elizabeth said, okay, I guess you're going to be getting up tomorrow. I said, no, this morning in praying, I told God I wasn't waking up tomorrow early because it's Saturday. So I look forward to Sunday when I get to wake up and pray with him. So it's already taken care of. It's sleeping day. You know, tomorrow, well, sure enough, man, Saturday morning, 5:45, my eyes are just pinned, like no shutting them, no hope, you know, of going back to sleep. All right, Lord, I understand. I'll pray. That's God having every area of your life. Bind up the testimony, Isaiah says. Seal the teaching among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. See that hope? See where all others are stumbling over this person of Jesus Christ? He still has hope in him. See, in 2014, where all families are falling away from the Lord and all people are turning away from the Lord, we can hope in Jesus Christ. He can be a sure foundation in our life. He's still God. Man, I love that about the Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, right? So I told you the New Testament quotes this twice. Here's the first one. And it's in Romans chapter 9, verse 33. And Paul combines the two verses that we read, the two sections of Isaiah. He says, "Behold, I'm laying in Zion." That's Isaiah 28, 16. "A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." That's Isaiah 8, 14. "And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." That's Isaiah 28, 16. Whoever believes in him. Right, this is a present participle, a present tense. It's going to happen over and over and over again. It's not just when I was 10 years old, I believed, woo, and I'm taken care of. No, you believe, right? That you take on that faith of Job that says, man, I'm working on my life, and if the Lord gives, great. And if the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord, right? You take on, oh! Happened way too early in the sermon for the climax, I'm not sure. I'm supposed to pray now in my notes, but I don't know. See, it says the attribute of this foundation is that he's a sure stone. He's well laid. He's well established. Not like a stool, right? That's what makes the game so fun, is that at any moment it can fall over. Do you know when we have this sure foundation of Christ in our lives, the house might still topple over. The storms are still going to come. Things could still fall at the wrong times. But when my foundation is solid, praise you, Lord Jesus. You give, you take away. Blessed be your name. What do you want to build in its place? You know, when you have a sure stone underneath you, there's no shame. No shame. Because a foundation is still Christ, so I'm not ashamed. But so many of us, we go from being this tall thing to being nothing. And we look at ourselves in the mirror and shame fills us up, doesn't it? God, I used to be something so much more, but I let the storms of this life knock me over. And now I look in the mirror and all I have is shame and regret. But when that foundation is Christ, if this is all I look like, Jesus, blessed is your name. Because when this is on that foundation, it has eternal repercussions, right? A reward is in heaven for what is on the foundation of Christ. God, if this would be what you have for me, then praise you, Lord. May I be this shape with faithfulness and godliness and holiness. Not something that I build up in my own image. Something that you want me to be. Look at how Peter starts to shape these verses of Isaiah. He says this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. He says, "Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Even if it topples over for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed." And that word blessed is the same one Jesus uses in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's more than just happy. It's more than just joy. It's this presence of God resting with you. Consider it. Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. And underline this next sentence. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. Why? Because what I build up here isn't what's important. Boy, but the foundation is vital. And even if it gets struck down to the first layer, I know that God can rebuild anything in his time. And maybe on this go around, I'll hear his voice much better. So with layer after layer, I know that God has placed the blocks right where they belong. I know that these aren't things that I'll stumble over, but things that God will build for the next layer. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. So you see, this attribute of the foundation is a holy stone. He says in Isaiah 8 that you can become, he can become a sanctuary, the set apart refuge. You know what makes this foundation so amazing is that it's not about the people around you and what are they building. It's about the holiness of God. I'm not comparing myself to others. I'm comparing myself to the holiness of God. Moms, stop looking at other moms to think you're a success or a failure. Look to Jesus. Stop raising your children and thinking, oh, well, that child and their family are smarter than my child. What am I doing wrong? Trust in Jesus. Don't prepare them for this world and stop at that. Prepare them for eternity. Lay in a holy stone as their foundation. Look at where Peter goes here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. It says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Oh, one of many of our favorite passages, I know. I love this idea of being built up in God. I love this idea, moms, of your job building up your kids through Jesus Christ. Dads, I don't want to exclude you. It's just not your day, frankly, all right? You know, so many of us believe that Jesus was a carpenter. Mark chapter 6 refers to, isn't this the carpenter? But I don't believe that Jesus was a carpenter. The Greek word tekton that is used there for, that we translate carpenter, just means builder. In Galilee, they didn't have a lot of carpentry needs. They had a lot of rock. They had a lot of stone. That word could easily be translated stonemason, builder. I think when you look at Scripture as a whole, the idea would be that Jesus put stones together, laid them on top of each other, because this is just one of like a dozen passages where either Christ is referring to it or his disciples are referring to stones and how they work together. And can you imagine Jesus as this builder laying rocks on top of other rocks and pointing to Peter and saying, Peter, this is the church. Peter, this is what I want to do in your life. Look at how this foundation is solid for these rocks. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. For those who don't believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. That's Psalm 118. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. That's Isaiah 8 that we read. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. You see, Peter lays out two options. We believe in Christ and he lays this foundation in our hearts, and everything that we do in life starts to be built upon that foundation. Or we choose not to believe in Christ and choose instead to be sure and solid and holy, to stumble, to break apart, to crater right at the pinnacle of what we've been able to build ourselves to be. What is this stone like? It's a stone of peace. It's a stone of peace. Church, the builder wants to build something in you. Do you know what we do on foundations? We build stuff on top of them. You know what we also do? We just rest in the security of that foundation, don't we? It's a stone of peace. A stone that is sure, that is solid. Moms, dads, children, I want you to receive the peace of God today. To be blessed that this stone, this foundation is so secure that when the storms rage, when they blow against you, you can be still and know that God is God. You can trust him You can lean on him. You can be chosen and precious and holy in his sight through Jesus Christ. And Father, how we love you. And I thank you for your word. I thank you for the peace, for the calmness, for the joy that you give us in your word. And Lord, I pray this morning that we would be able to receive who you are as a foundation below everything that we do, that your name, Jesus, would be blessed. God, how we love you. We just give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.